Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Mean Gene Show, powered by the Sports Kings here on iHeartRadio. It is a Tuesday, August 4th, 2020, a brand new month. We're already 4 days into the new month here, and I hope everyone had a very safe and wonderful weekend. You know, I almost didn't get a chance to do this show today because as I sit here, I have boxes and things all over the place. Of course, I had to find all of my equipment to do the show. So I said, okay, I got to pack everything. Except my podcasting equipment. So lucky for me and you, I have access to that stuff. And it looks like we'll probably get a Thursday show done too before the real move takes place this weekend. So moving sucks, especially in the middle of a pandemic and in the middle of a hot, hot summer, which is always the case here in Houston late July going into August. So a few things we're going to cover today, including the amazing and exciting return of the NBA restart and the WNBA seasons in Florida. They didn't really have any worries from the tropical storm hurricane that mostly missed the state of Florida as it moved on up the coast. So that was good news. We're also going to look at a very interesting story involving the 8 teams that were left out of the NBA bubble. Remember, 22 got invited, and the 8 teams that didn't get invited, we'll talk about those teams because they have somewhat of a disadvantage when you really think about it in regards to competitive competition because they didn't get invited to play, and you see the 22 teams that are actively playing, and these 8 teams will not play probably until next season, next year. So that is interesting. So I'll talk about that and share my thoughts on that. Of course, we will talk about the NFL and COVID-19. As a matter of fact, a huge story coming out of Denver. One of their big name players is considering opting out of the 2020 NFL season. So that's going to be interesting as well. And I think as we continue to see the list of players that are opting out and the reasons that they're opting out, the NFL has kind of slowed it down a little bit as far as, you know, just kind of talking about it. When you look at the New England Patriots now, I think they have to 7, maybe 8 players that are not going to play. Now, I know Bill Belichick and the Patriots have always, you know, had that next man up mentality, but this is different. This year is going to be different for the NFL and how, you know, I mean, great. There's players out there that are willing to step it up and get their opportunity, especially coming off an exciting draft year. But at the same time, it's just not as exciting for those players as a player getting hurt, you know, and having to fill in, but players opting out because of safety reasons and something that, you know, we all are concerned about. As a matter of fact, the news on COVID-19 just gets more and more interesting as schools try to prepare. And I talked about that a little bit in my last show. Now, young folks are actually getting the virus. And then when you're mixing the young folks in with the school teachers who are more susceptible to getting even more, having more health related issues from that. It's an interesting mix. But, you know, even having said that, I want to applaud the NBA for just what they are doing and controlling the virus and limiting the spread. And of course, I mean, it's just not really feasible for the entire country to be in a bubble, which is where most people feel we should be. But, you know, when you have 340-something players and you have a facility like you have in Orlando, at the Walt Disney World complex there, I mean, it's manageable. And I think we're seeing, I mean, they're not talking COVID-19 on a daily basis down there. You're seeing how the NBA is pulling this thing off with, I think now probably today or tomorrow, we'll probably get the test results and we'll see who has, you know, if anybody tested positive. For the last couple of weeks, there were no positive cases. And I mean, you just gotta take your hats off to the NBA and how they're actually pulling this off and the support that they're getting. And I think the NFL is looking at this. I think Major League Baseball now, St. Louis Cardinals, a couple of players tested positive. So the Major League Baseball is just having to scramble. So, I mean, they already are used to postponing games due to rain, weather, stuff like that. But because teams like the Miami Marlins, I mean, they had to be just basically taken off everyone's schedule. You got to, what are you going to do with those games? Then you have the St. Louis Cardinals and a lot of games that were just sort of, you know, postponed and everything. And then again, Major League Baseball is operating on a get in a plane and travel and stay at whatever hotels and move around about the country and everything, and not really having a, well, I mean, they have a plan, but not enforcing the plan as far as keeping their players, you know, from spreading and picking up this virus. So it's just really getting out of control, and they're basically relying on grown men to make choices that would be in their best interest. And I mean, that's just not the way it's happening. That's why the NBA, if they can get through, the playoffs are scheduled to start August 17th, and I think the season is supposed to end in October. I mean, if they can get through these next 3 months, it's going to be a miracle. And if they can get through these next 3 months with very minimal outbreaks, meaning, you know, if they get one player a week and they can, but they're going to know that player's whereabouts. They're going to know, you know, everything about where this player has been. Now, I got to say, the toughest thing about the NBA restart, though, is it has to be the fact that these players are away from their families. Now, I know with the technology that we have today, I mean, you can practically be in anyone's house, home, living room, at the snap of a finger. And I mean, that's fine. It's got to be tough. But what I'm seeing from the NBA, of course, is the fact that these players, and the reason why the competition, and I'll talk about that in the next segment, the competition has been well, because I think these guys are focused. They, not saying that when they're at home in front of their fans or with their families, they're not focused, but there's probably a little bit more drama and a little bit more distracting things that happen. Whereas what you're seeing now with the NBA is just some pretty good competition. I mean, to be honest with you, and how it's just the players, the staff, the NBA announcers, it just seems to be working out pretty damn good right now. So we'll see. So hopefully the NFL, and when we talk about that story a little bit later, I got to think that the NFL is looking at the NBA and is going, hey, what can we do? I mean, why not collaborate with all of the sports and just say, hey, man, you know, get with Adam Silver, get with the NBA people, the doctors, and everyone that is making this happen. Now, I tell you what, though, and some people will say, hey, you know what, Mean Gene, anything short of a bubble process, it's just not going to work. I mean, if the NFL, they're not just going to play all of their games in one facility. I mean, it'd be tough. You're talking about a field where you would, they could also play on turf, but it would just, logistically speaking, it'd be tough for them, the NFL, to have a bubble process unless you played in New York or LA or anywhere there's multiple stadiums. New York would probably, I guess, be it. But then again, that would be a problem, you know, for winter, for teams that are from the West Coast and having to play, you know, a lot of winter games in the East. Because you can do it in San Francisco, Oakland area. I know that stadium is not the best in the world, but then again, you run into a problem because baseball is still playing up there. So I don't know. It's interesting and how the NFL is going to pull this off. But nevertheless, I tell you what, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the NBA restart, some of the competition, and we'll also talk about those 8 teams that are sort of left out. You're listening to the Mean Gene Show here on iHeartRadio.
Hey, singing can help you remember things, so here's some tips for parents out there during these tough times.
Number one,
make sure your kids wash their hands for 20 seconds after they've coughed or sneezed or been outside.
Two,
virtual playdates, social and physical distancing can help save lives.
Three,
tell them they're safe and show your love and pride. Yes, we'll get through this together. Find out more at coronavirus.gov. A message from the CDC and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back here on the Mean Gene Show, iHeartRadio. Tuesday show, August 4th, 2020. So I'm keeping my eye on all of the games. I mean, there's just so many of them. And good luck if you're at home in the afternoon trying to work from home and there's an NBA game on like there was today. And you're trying to get your work done. And I mean, you don't have a boss to tell you that you can't watch the game. So, but you're, your focus effort may not be there. I mean, they're playing an aggressive schedule, okay? And all of this is leading up to the playoff, which is going to start here pretty soon. I mean, when I say aggressive schedule, so, I mean, Saturday, let's just look at Saturday. So they had one, two, three, four, five games on Saturday. Sunday, which, you know, we're used to a normal NBA schedule. So there was one, two, three, four, five, six games. So yesterday, which was a Monday, now this is really interesting. You know, six games yesterday. I mean, so just, I mean, man, and all of these games are being played in Florida. Just go figure that, right? I mean, they're all being played in the bubble, and now you're starting to see how big that whole facility is in Orlando. And then let's just look at today. I mean, six games scheduled today. And I mean, there were some really good games on today, too. So we're going to talk about that. And same thing tomorrow, six games scheduled tomorrow, Wednesday, August 5th. And I mean, it's just going to be like that. It's going to be an aggressive schedule until the playoffs start. And so far, let's just talk about the competition, though. I mean, on opening night there, and last Thursday, I believe it was, July 30th. So we saw the Pelicans, we saw the Jazz, we saw the Clippers, and we saw the Lakers. So the Jazz pulls off a victory. And I know my friend Craig Bolajack had fun there watching Rudy Gobert. He scored the first 2 points of the game, and he scored the last 2 points of the game in the win against the Pelicans. Interesting, because you know Rudy Gobert was the player that basically shut all of sports down when he contracted COVID-19. And then we had the nightcap of last Thursday with the Clippers and the Lakers. Lakers won that game 103-101. Just great stuff. And I mean, and just over the last couple of days, there's just been some hella games. And last Friday, the Trailblazers and the Memphis Grizzlies, 140-135. Portland has been playing. Portland is playing right now. The Houston Rockets tonight, and but Portland has been playing some crazy games and putting up a lot of points. So that was an overtime win for them, 140-135. Then we had the Celtics and the Bucks. Milwaukee looked good. Giannis looked good last Friday night, and then so that same night. In the nightcap, you had the Spurs and the Kings. Spurs looked good in that win. Then you had a crazy game last Friday night. It was the Rockets and the Mavericks, the Battle of Texas, right? And the Rockets win 153-149. At halftime, I think the score was like 85-75 or something like that. Crazy that it went in overtime. And James Harden, I think, dropped, 49 points in that game. So just crazy competition there. And then over the weekend, good competition as well. Clippers take care of the Pelicans. Lakers get a surprising loss from the Toronto Raptors on Saturday. I don't think a lot of people saw that coming, but Toronto. Now, this is what's really scary about this thing. Is that the Raptors are the defending NBA champions, and no one gave them a chance in hell of, you know, going back to back, especially after losing Kawhi Leonard. But in this COVID format and what's happening in Florida, I mean, the Raptors could go back to back. I mean, I'm just saying they could go back to back. The Pacers beat the 76ers. 76ers are still the 76ers, and some of the competition though. And I was talking with some of my friends. I mean, they were looking at these games, and I really, some of the processes that we talked about last week and how detailed the plan was to roll out these games. So you can obviously tell the home team because their floor is painted and decorated as if they were playing at their home court. The music that you hear, some of the sounds that you would normally hear in that arena are being played during those games. And the virtual fans is pretty unique. I mean, it is really, really unique. And it kind of gives the player that aspect of, hey, you know, there's people watching. And they are watching virtually, right? And season ticket holders. And it's just pretty damn smart. I mean, how the NBA did that. And I mean, and the official. So we're also getting real good action on the court. The camera angles are pretty damn good. The announcing. I mean, you know, Kevin Harlan. I met Kevin Harlan at the Super Bowl when it was in Houston. That was the Falcons and the Patriots Super Bowl. And Kevin Harlan is just brilliant. This guy has one of the best voices out there when it comes to broadcasting, and everyone knows that voice when they hear it, and the excitement that he generates when calling a game. I don't care who he's working with, you know Kevin Harlan's voice, and man, it's just nice to hear him. All of these guys, Van Gundy, Jeff, and his brother Stan, but the team of Van Gundy, Mike Breen, and Mark Jackson. I mean, if you're at, well, we're all at home watching the game, so we don't have a choice there, but I mean, it just feels like a regular season. I mean, these guys, give it up to these guys. Everyone has a part to play in this to where it can be successful. The players are just playing their asses off on the court. I mean, you're just seeing good competition. This is what professionals do. But just like I told you last week, and knowing that the NBA is containing COVID-19 and limiting how many people are testing and positive and quarantining those people that need to be quarantined, especially people that are coming in and out the bubble. I mean, you know, when you get on the court and you play, and then when you're watching the game, it's just competition. I mean, you know, you got your graphics on TV, everything just looks the same. And like I said, you know who the home team is. It's just really great. And I know I'm sort of, you know, I'm not doing an about face on this. I was, you know, definitely worried. But I said on paper, this plan looked pretty damn good. Now we're actually seeing it play out. So, I mean, I just hope baseball and I don't even know if baseball is going to make it through the season, but I hope football is kind of looking at things but just pretty good. So back to the action though. So we had, let's see what else we had some, that was Saturday's game. So Sunday competition was pretty interesting as well. The Celtics and the Trailblazers, once again, Portland has just really been one of the exciting teams to watch in this NBA restart. So are the Phoenix Suns. Now, that's a team that I didn't even think should have been invited to the bubble. But the Suns, what, they knock off the Clippers today. 117 to 115. They beat the Mavericks by that same score the other day. I believe that was, yeah, Sunday. They beat the Mavericks by that same score, 117 to 115. The Bucks and the Rockets. The Rockets beat the Bucks. That was an exciting game on Sunday. And then, you know, it brings us to yesterday. Some good competition. The Lakers get the Jazz, and the 76ers win a nail biter over the Spurs. I think the Spurs really should have won that game yesterday. And and the Pelicans. Pelicans get their first win. I worked with Alvin Gentry and the Clippers, about 18 years ago when we covered the Clippers, me and downtown Wayne Brown and Alvin Gentry, man, I tell you. One of the things from a competitive standpoint, I was talking about this the other day with a friend of mine, is that sometimes when, because Alvin Gentry has always had some great players to coach, and I remember that talented team he had with Corey Maggette, Darius Miles, Lamar Odom, just Q Richardson. I mean, just a hell of a team. And then I look at this team that he has now with mixed in with veterans, J.J. Redick, and you got Ball, you got Zion, you got Brandon Ingram. And, I mean, they get their first win here of the restart. And they had to get it over the Memphis Grizzlies because that's one of those teams trying to get that final eighth playoff spot in the Western Conference. So sometimes I just, you know, it's just, you know, I worry sometimes that he just struggles with, you know, just trying to get the right lineup on the court, because you can't argue the talent that's on the team. It's just trying to figure out what players should be out there and when they need to be out there in order for you to get a victory. And then again, I mean, hey, I'm going to cut them some slack too in this COVID area, COVID era, where, you know, I mean, he is of age, and him and D'Antoni, man, they definitely have to wear their masks at all times. And so it's just, you know, but it was good to see the Pelicans get a win. And then that brings us to today. The Bucks are struggling now. The Bucks have dropped two in a row. And the Nets get the Bucks today. The Mavericks had to get overtime to beat the Kings. And the Pacers. The Pacers is one of those teams you got to watch out for. And we saw the Heat take down the Celtics. And then we have our Rockets and Portland Trailblazers playing tonight. I have no doubt that this is going to be a good game, so I'm not going to give you play-by-play action, but it is, you got two of the hottest offenses in this restart that are playing. So, I mean, just everything looks good. So, more action. I mean, you have to make time for this now. And then you have to kind of, like, look at your matchups and decide, okay, you know, what games you're going to want to watch, because you just can't see them all. I mean, but this is some great action, great action. The NBA is doing a hell of a job, and the competition is good. So we're going to see. I believe it's time for a break. And when I come back, I will talk about the NFL, and I'm going to talk about those eight teams. I haven't forgot about them. And we'll talk about exactly what their concerns are. You probably don't even remember who those eight teams are, right? That's not planned, because we're so focused on the 22 that are in Florida. So, hey, stick around, folks. You're listening to The Mean Gene Show here on iHeartRadio.
This is a message from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. CDC is working to help keep you and your community safe from the threat of novel or new coronavirus. COVID-19 is spreading in the United States, and leaving your home increases your chances of getting and spreading the virus. Stay home except to get groceries, medications, or other essentials. Check state or local government guidance for where you are. If you must leave the house for essential items, take the following steps to help avoid the spread of COVID-19. Maintain social distance, approximately 6 feet or 2 meters from others. Wear a cloth face covering in public. For more information, visit cdc.gov.
And we are back, folks. Once again, you're listening to The Mean Gene Show here on iHeartRadio. So I do want to talk about these eight teams that feel that they are somewhat at a disadvantage. And they really have a legitimate gripe there. They are somewhat, they have a nickname. It's called the Delete Eight. And it consists of the Atlanta Hawks, Charlotte Hornets, Chicago Bulls, Cleveland Cavaliers, Detroit Pistons, Golden State Warriors, Minnesota Timberwolves, and the New York Knicks. And some of you would say, well, the Knicks, sometimes you forget the Knicks is a team in the NBA. But, I mean, there is, and this story is from John Chick of The Score. And this, he released this a couple of hours ago. And it basically talks about the these eight teams and how they feel they're not able to play. So just think about it. You got 22 teams down there. These guys are practicing, bonding, doing a lot of stuff down there at the NBA bubble. And you have these eight teams that, I'll be honest with you, until today, we just haven't even really thought about them. No one has thought about the Timberwolves, the Hornets, the Bulls, the Cavaliers, the Pistons, the Warriors. I mean, we sort of just kind of look at it. I guess we look at it like they were just mathematically out of it anyway. And I mean that's sort of it, but they have a legitimate gripe in the fact that, you know, how can they work out? How can they get together and just sort of, you know, stay in shape and keep their craft going? I mean, they're at a disadvantage if you really think about it, because they don't have anything going on. They would have to almost wait. Like I said, the season is not supposed to be over until the season is not going to be over until October. Now, as teams are eliminated, you know, once we get into the playoffs, those teams will be removed from the bubble. But at the same time, they still have a competitive edge because they would have had some sort of competition. And they would, you know, I mean, which is good. So, but when you look at these teams here, they wouldn't have, you know, played basketball competitively for damn near a full year, you know, because when does the NBA season for 2021 start? If I mean, are they going to start late in January, you know, January of next year? And then these guys would have almost set out a year. The whole point is, are they going to have a second bubble? And a second bubble would consist of these eight teams so that they could scrimmage and sort of have mini camps. I mean, and that's basically what this whole thing is about. So I guess they're talking, the league is talking to these guys, and they're trying to see what you know, what's going to happen. You know, no one really knows officially when the 2021 season is going to start. Everyone has just got their fingers crossed and hoping that they get through this season. And I mean, there's still a lot of time to go. I mean, so far so good with the NBA and what they're doing. But we, you know, so it's just a shame. I mean, I understand the same issue would have been there if you had just invited the 16 teams and just started the playoffs. And then you would have had those other teams on the outside looking in. You know, you still would have had the same complaint. So this is going to be interesting to see, you know, how, I mean, the Knicks now have a new coach now, and Tom Thibodeau, Golden State Warriors, you know, Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, those guys. Klay Thompson should be healthy enough, you know, next year. Pistons, still young team there, looking good, you know. The Bulls, the Timberwolves, young team, looking good. So, I mean, those guys, they are under major restrictions depending on where they are. They're not able to you know, get together and practice competitively like their counterparts are doing. And I know that's got to be killing these guys to watch the competition and can't be part of it. So I totally get it. And hopefully the NBA will figure this one out with these guys. So, NFL story here. Let's just talk about what's going on with Von Miller. Von Miller, who tested positive for COVID-19, is certainly given serious consideration to opting out of the season. Now, this story is coming from my friend Jack Brown. Jack Brown was on the show a couple of, was it last week? Yeah, maybe last week. So he actually revealed today that he is seriously contemplating opting out of the 2020 season. And this is what he told, or this is according to ESPN's Jeff Legworld. The article is by Jack Brown. So Miller was the second active NFL player to contract COVID-19 back in April. The seven-time Pro Bowler also suffers from asthma, which requires him to use an inhaler to train and play, which is sounds scary enough. But according to Miller, and these are his words, I thought about it. I thought about all of my family. I took serious consideration in the things that could possibly happen. It's not 100% bubble like basketball, so there are always going to be holes. But I feel like the job the Broncos were doing to keep us safe was enough for me not to opt out. I guess, you know, after looking at other players like here just late recently, Damian Williams, C.J. Mosley, Nate Solder, and even one of his teammates, tackle Juwan James and defensive tackle Kyle Pecco have already decided not to play. So you're getting a lot of players in the NFL that are opting out. I believe they're opting out for reasons because the NFL hasn't really made it safe. And man, there you have it. He referenced the NBA, and I just talked about that. I mean, players are watching. People are watching, you know, and even if executives are these teams or the league isn't watching, the players are. I mean, they have to respect this bubble thing and what's going on. So anyway, it's going to be interesting. I mean, it really sounds like he's not going to play. I mean, he's 31 years old. He's, you know, getting ready for his 10th season in the NFL. Jesus Christ, 10 years. I remember when he came from Texas A&M. I mean, he is just a beast. And even the fact that under normal conditions, he's playing with an inhaler because he suffers from asthma in such a physical sport like the, you know, NFL and football. I mean, one would have to think that he's just not going to play. And I couldn't disagree with him. I mean, it's just serious, man. You know, we've lost, 156,000 people now. They all meant something to someone. And it's just crazy. It's just unbelievable. So, I mean, come on, these guys watch the news. They read the reports and the whole nine yards. So the WNBA is moving right along. I mean, the competition is looking great. You got the Chicago Sky and the Washington Mystiques are both 3-1 in the young season. You're getting some very competitive games coming from the Indiana Fever and the Atlanta Dream. Those guys are competitive now. I don't know. Someone probably needs to tell the Connecticut Sun and the New York Liberty, hey, the season has started. They have yet to win a game. Both teams are 0-4. Over in the Western Conference, Seattle Storm and the Minnesota Lynx, both of those teams are 3-1. So, I mean, and hey, these records really reflect the competition. These ladies are really, really playing some great basketball. The Los Angeles Sparks and the Las Vegas Aces. I mean, when you just look at where these teams are, we're really getting to know the WNBA. The Chicago Sky, wait a minute, first of all, oh my goodness, Bill Laimbeer. Can we talk about Bill Laimbeer a little bit? Bill Laimbeer, who actually played with the Detroit Pistons, one of the bad boys. Have you seen Bill Laimbeer lately? Have you seen him at all? Bill Laimbeer looks a mess. He's the head coach of the Las Vegas Aces, and I damn near didn't recognize him the other night when they were playing. I said, you got to be kidding me. That is not Bill Laimbeer. He's got a head full of white hair. I think he was wearing like a headband or something. He just really looked crazy. And I interviewed Bill Laimbeer a couple of years ago when he was coaching the Detroit WNBA team. Still the same, arrogant, never answers a question, makes you sort of scared to even ask a question. Not as bad as Greg Popovich, but Popovich is cool. He is mellowed out. Bill Laimbeer is just amazing. But anyway, hell of a WNBA coach, though. Tell you what, I mean, he has found his spot in basketball, and he is really, really great coaching the ladies. And I give him his props on that. But he just looks crazy as hell. So you got, hey, you're listening to the podcast, just Google Bill Laimbeer or get some recent pictures of him and look at his old pictures and compare to his pictures now. I mean, he just looks crazy. It looks crazy as hell. But nevertheless, WNBA competition is looking really good. So excited to see how their season is going to turn out. And of course, over in the, the Western Conference is just really competitive. Really competitive. I mean, the Liberty, hopefully by the time I do my next show on Thursday, the Liberty and the Connecticut Sun would have found a way to win a game. Right now, it's all about the Sky, the Mystics, and the Storm, and the Lynx. And, of course, now the Storm, we're going to have to see how they're going to, if they're going to stay atop the Western Conference with Sue Bird being out. But, nevertheless, competition is good. Enjoying the WNBA. They are doing a fascinating job as well, keeping their players in their bubble in Bradenton, Florida. Real small town, by the way, near Sarasota, other side of Tampa. You got to cross that crazy bridge. I remember driving over that bridge, an intimidating bridge. I don't know the name of it, but if you know what I'm talking about, if you've ever been to Bradenton, you drove from Tampa to Bradenton to Florida. So anyway, we are going to wrap this show up, folks. I think we are done. I am going to get back into some action here on my TV while it's the last thing I'm going to pack up and take out of here, right? I mean, come on. We can't just break things down to the point where we don't have no entertainment. So the TV is going to be the last thing I pack up this weekend and move. So, all right, folks. So, hey, we will see you on Thursday and enjoy the next couple of days. And we'll see you here again on the Mean Gene Show here on iHeartRadio.